Good morning, good crowd, good night. Glad you're here.
Amen.
I'm going to read Jeremiah 31:12 and Isaiah 58:11. If you want to turn and follow. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more. Now look at Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your great salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your love to us. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity this day. And Lord, we just pray that you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, direct your word into the hearts and souls of all that listen. And Lord, you'd have your way in our lives. I ask you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A watered garden. Now, I've been around gardens all my life. I had quite a few poor ones, had a few good ones. And a watered garden is a real pleasure to me. This is a thought that I saw years ago in the Bible. And recognizing here in San Antonio, we're right close on the desert. And in my time in the Air Force, I was in Roswell, New Mexico, and that's desert. And it pleasures me to have that thought. Your soul as a watered garden. Now, gardens are of all sorts of varieties. And most people aren't really good gardeners. I don't know whether you're a good gardener or not. But at any rate, most of the gardens that I've seen, a lot of times they've grown up with weeds. Because it takes a lot of work to take the weeds out of a garden. And so you got the weeds competing with the garden, and therefore the garden doesn't do as well as it could do and should do. But the idea of a watered garden, have you ever in a plane drove across West Texas or New Mexico or Colorado? You ever see these great big, from the plane, they're great big round spots on the desert. And you can see there's a lot growing right there. You know what that is. That's water coming from the ground down under that desert and coming up and being spread on their fields. I had a cousin, a first cousin, and he was 26 years older than me. And we were friends and met with each other, knew each other. And I went into the Air Force in 55, and I was discharged in 59. In Roswell, New Mexico. Now, he left our hill country up around Burnett and went out into Artesia, New Mexico, and bought him a farm. And I'll tell you what, when I went down and looked at it, it was desert. You know what desert looks like? It was just plain desert. It was flat, it was level, and it was desert. But if in the town of Artesia, you know what an artesian well is? It's a well that you drill down so far, you hit an aquifer that has pressure, and it brings the water on up without even pumping it. It just comes up and flows. Now, he had my boys were just small when we went down to visit him in Artesia. He had a pipe, I would say probably a foot in diameter at least, that's in my memory, that artesian well on his farm that he had, just a little outside of the town of Artesia, New Mexico, the water would just flow. He had a valve where he could cut it off. But he also had a great big diesel engine. And he could turn that diesel engine on and pushed that water all across these fields that he had. And he had a beautiful fields. It's an amazing thing. I was impressed. I would have thought that desert land wouldn't grow anything. But he told me it would grow anything. Whatever you got and put the water to it, there were the nutrients in the soil, in the sand that was there. Really something. And I was really fascinated by that artesian well and what he had. And he was a dear friend. He was a Christian. And the boys and Verlene and I went down and visited him several times while I was in Roswell. I was discharged in 1959. And I had applied at Howard Payne College in Brownwood, Texas. So I had a trailer house that I was living in. And I had it professionally hauled to Brownwood and put in a trailer park. But I never did like living in a trailer park. I liked living on a piece of land or a little bigger property. And so I began to drive around Brownwood looking for a small town just a short ways away from Brownwood so I could have my family there and whatever. And I found these two vacant lots, 50 by 150, sort of like a lot of lots in San Antonio are. And on one of them, a house had been removed, and the other one, they were both had fences. The other one was a garden, a 50 by 150 foot garden. And so I went out to find the man that was there that owned the land, and he was in a nursing home. Not because he had to be there, because he was still fit and strong, and he was a lifetime worker in steel. And shoeing horses and stuff like that, a blacksmith. He was in the nursing home because his wife got very sick, and so she needed the care. And so when he got the care for her, he just rented the rest of the room for himself and moved in with his wife and what he was there. I knew him for about a year, year and a half, real nice fellow, strong fellow. And I asked him about this garden, and he said, oh, yeah, that was one of his pleasures. He was sort of before television. I don't know if some of you can't think about anything before television, but that was the kind of man he was. He was before television. And said he would come back from the blacksmith shop and go out in his garden and get on his hands and his knees and walk through the garden pulling weeds. And he also, when he pulled the weeds, they'd sometimes come out with the roots, you know, and they'd be in a clod of dirt. And he told me one of his greatest pleasures and a comfort to him and a rest to him after being worked with all that heat and steel and fire in the daytime in Texas, that walking through that garden and pulling those weeds and crushing those clumps of dirt with his hands was a comfort to him. Now, I'll just bet you he had a good-looking garden. I didn't see it. It was all up with weeds, man. There were weeds this high whenever I took it over. But he'd been in a nursing home. I met him every month as I went to pay the rent. And I was in there for about a little over a year. And I enjoyed the man. And it really brought something to my mind. And there's these two verses of scripture we have here in Jeremiah. There's another one I did not read. But he said, their soul, talking about the people of God, their soul shall be as a watered garden. And then in Isaiah 58:11, he says, thou shalt be as a watered garden. You've gone across and seen what water can do. God Almighty feeds us with the nutriments that are in all the soils. And you know, with the hose, I used to chop my weeds with a hoe. I never did get down on my knees and walk through a garden, pulling them up like that. But think what he did. Now, when I went through with my hoe, and just like most of you probably did, I sharpened my hoe a lot, and I'd cut the weeds off. and to make my garden look good. And I had watered all of them that I ever had. And because of that water coming in and you getting rid of the weeds, well, you could get some pretty good crops. Now, thinking about that, when he did what he did, he pulled out the weed with the roots. Now, when I chopped off the heads, chopped off the green, the roots were still in the ground. And the roots are still furnishing that thing. It's going to come back next week. Next week, you're going to be chopping those same weeds again. But what he did with his garden, when he pulled out the plant, he got the roots. And he would put out that plant and just walk down that garden and crumbling all the clods of dirt up. I'm just betting he had a beautiful garden. I never did see it, but it was beautiful. But I did have the thought in my mind. Now, God is using that as an illustration about his people. How does God look at his people? As they could have a soul like a watered garden? Wow. You get the thought? It's a beautiful thought. It's always blessed me. Thou shalt be as a watered garden. When my cousin turned that big diesel pump on and started pumping him all over his farm, he had a tremendous farm. He had a tremendous farm. He finally got old, sold it, and went back down and came back to Texas. Anyway, I want to talk to you about thy soul shall be as a watered garden. First thing I want you to know is you must be right with God if you want to be blessed. You must be right with God. It doesn't matter if you're successful financially or if you're successful in other ways. You must be right with God to be blessed. God made you, and he wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to lead you. This Bible right here, I believe, is the Word of God. I believe if you study it, you'll know the mind of God. I believe if you will take this Word and put it into your heart, into your mind, into your thinking, and then you pray to God and get in His will, He will bless you tremendously. And I would say that you are living very dangerously if you know that this book is the Word of God and you don't open it up. Now, you can read the Bible a lot of ways. I've read it all sorts of different ways in 66 years. I didn't read it much when I was a kid growing up. I went to Sunday school and church almost every Sunday morning. My folks were Sunday morning Christians, and they were sweet people. And when they came to town, they felt like they were farmers and that they didn't fit. And so they weren't really as social. And they went to church on Sunday morning and Sunday school, and that's a little bit of the Bible that I knew. When I got saved, I believed two things that I still believe. I believe this Bible was the Word of God, that is without error, and if I understood it, I would have the truth. I also believe that Jesus Christ was the only Savior of the world.
Amen.
You couldn't get saved any other way. And those two things I believed. I probably got them from my mother or my father or my grandmother and whatever, but it was a beautiful thing. And when I got saved, I still believed that. Now, I started reading my Bible. I've always been a reader. As I said, I'm pre-television. My daddy didn't get a television until I was 16 years old. By that time, I was driving cars and dating girls, playing football. You know, it's an amazing thing. Blessings of God. I began to read the Bible, and I wanted to read it through, and I put it in my pocket. And every time I wanted a cigarette, I'd say, "Lord, I'm having a nicotine fit." And I'd just read wherever I was before. Now, I was a refueling man. I refueled planes. So I was in grease and oil and alcohol and water alcohol and gasoline of all sorts up to 145 octane. So I smelled bad most of the time. And my hands were greasy or whatever most of the time. And so that little New Testament that I carried in my pocket, it started out about as thick as my thumb, but by the time it was, I'd used it a while for about that year, because every time I got to place to stop, I just pulled out and said, Lord, show me something. And I would read my New Testament. And I read it many, many times. And sometimes I would read, like, say, 10 chapters out of the old, 10 chapters out of the new, every day, and went through the Bible that way. I read about a preacher one time that he just read his Bible through, how he built his sermons. He read his Bible through till when it came time for him to preach on Sunday, wherever he was in the Bible, that's what he preached. I never had much luck that way. But at any rate, there's a lot of different ways to read your Bible. You can read it wanting to cover so many chapters, so you're going to complete some Sunday school requirement or something. I'm going to read 3 chapters this week, or I'm going to memorize certain verses and stuff like that. I have found that in my reading, as I was reading like this years ago, here I'm in the middle of Jeremiah. A lot of what he was dealing with, I would not know because it's historical as far as the children of Israel. But I read this thing, and their soul shall be as a watered garden. And it, light came on. How would you like a soul like a watered garden? Now, watered garden's a beautiful thing, but it's a lot of work. You can't have a beautiful garden without a lot of work. And you may not get on your hands and knees to go through it pulling the weeds, but you got to get the weeds out of there. You got to stop them. And you may do it with chemicals today, but you may do it with a hoe, a sharpened hoe. You ever seen one of those hoes that was about 2 inches? They've been sharpening that one a long time. They come down. Your garden needs water. Your garden's not going to grow without water. You need water. Amen. You need water for cleansing. You need water for drinking. You need water for cooking. You need water for cleaning. You are blessed if you have water in your house. Amen. When I went to Guatemala, out in the natives in the fields and whatever, they didn't have water in their house. Water was a scarce thing. 7 out of 10 of them didn't have shoes. They had great, they were little people, but they had great big feet. And they were feet that had soles, just like I was when I was a kid. I was run barefooted, and I could run over cement and run over the pipe stickers and stuff like that without a problem. But you know something? That's a tremendous blessing to have that in your house. And you know the value of it. Do you know the value of it in your personal body, your flesh? Your water is important. And you need to drink some water. And some of you don't drink water, all you drink is soda pop. Well, you're not doing yourself very good. You need water in your body. Now, excuse me. You must be right with God. Is this the Word of God?
Amen. Yes, sir.
If you read it, can you find out what God says?
Yes.
Do you know that it is what God wants you to know?
Yes, sir.
Well, then you've got an instruction that ought to bless your life. What happens if you don't read it? Well, then you don't know. If you don't read it and check out what that preacher said this morning or what this preacher says in this hour, if you don't check it out to see if he's telling you the truth, and if you're not there looking at it and say, did he read it right? Is he pulling a scam on us? Are there people that are scamming Christians?
Yeah.
Of course there are. Not everybody that claims to be a Christian is a Christian.
Right.
And there's an awful lot of money in some of these fakes. But I tell you what, I got blessed as I started reading this book on something like this when I came across an idea like that that struck my mind and I couldn't get rid of it. And I began to think about it and how it could be used A watered garden. A watered garden. My soul be like a watered garden. That means in drought time, my inward artesian well by the Holy Spirit of God is coming up and blessing me. And you take the Word of God and you think about this for a while and think, how would I like my soul to be? Now, I'd say the most of the gardens I ever saw are covered with weeds. I've seen some beautiful gardens, but I've seen a whole lot of them that didn't, somebody got tired of working. They got tired of hoeing. They got tired of planting and watering. And so the garden suffers because of it. Well, you couldn't let your dog be that way. If you don't give your dog water, why, you're going to let him starve and die. You can't go in your life without using the water. The water of life is something wonderful. Now, you take the Bible, the truth of the Bible, written out in plain English, and you get a thought from it. And it's in your mind, and the Holy Spirit of God, that's Jesus, living within you, begins to pick at your mind and won't let you rest, won't let the thought get away from you. Have you ever had that happen? That's a good way to read your Bible. Read it until something interests you. You're reading through maybe some of the Jewish history that is not available to you, and so it's not as interesting, or maybe some of the begets, that just mean fathered. Well, that's sort of dull to read. Now, it's important to the Bible and important to the Jewish people, but it's not really that important to me. I like a verse like this one here. Their soul shall be as a watered garden. And thou shalt be as a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And you begin to think about that. God gives you the thoughts and the words and the truth. And the Holy Spirit is like water. It moves on those words in your mind and in your heart, and you have to begin, how do they apply to me? How could these things apply to me? Well, I would say memory is a very good thing, and memorization is a very good thing. Repetition is a very good thing. You know why you know your address? Not because you sit down and memorize it. Because you use it every day of the week. You know how you know your telephone number? The same thing. You didn't try to memorize it. It wasn't a big, great effort of work. You use it every day. How about getting into the Word of God a little more?
Amen.
How about trying to read and see, does God have a message for me? Maybe if you're in the habit and you say, I'm going to spend 15 minutes in the morning reading the Bible or praying or whatever. My wife was a sweet Christian. She was saved when she was 16. And she read her Bible through when she was 16. She got up every morning at 4:30. On purpose. And she had from 4:30 till about 7. When her kids and husband got up, and then her free time was over. I remember one time I thought, oh, you know, she's just getting up so early, I'll just get up with her. I ruined her day. It really, really hurt my feelings, you know. You really don't want me up here with you. No, this is my free time. She had 5 kids, you know. She didn't have a lot of free time. Bless your heart. What about if you just read the Bible and decided to say, I want to find something that interests me? With an attitude. I want to find something that interests me. Like in your reading in this little verse here in the middle of Jeremiah or Isaiah, and you come across that idea, their soul shall be as a watered garden. Wow. What does that mean? How does that fit into my life? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means that if you get the Word of God in you and you allow the Holy Spirit to do it, He will bring things to your mind and to your heart and to your comfort.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of peace of mind in knowing the scriptures. Thou shalt be as a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. How can some people go through absolute tragedy and they make it through? And I have one example of the stock market fall back in 1929 was a man in New York City. And he was a multimillionaire. And that Black Friday took, I don't know, $20-30 million from him. He jumped out of an upstory building, 20 stories up or so, and killed himself. He only had $2 million left. Now, does that strike you as funny? It does me. He only has $2 million left. Only he he might not have been able to go on in the same way he had gone. He maybe couldn't lose money the way he had lost money. He couldn't make money the same way, but he had $2 million left. How many people didn't even have $100 left? Sometimes we don't think right. What about the blessing of God upon your life? Have you thought what a difference it can make in your attitude? Oh, people are looking for peace. Well, I'll tell you what, get in the book and let God's Holy Spirit do some moving on your heart. You must be right with God. How can you be right with God? Well, He tells you how you can be right with God. And you know something? One of the greatest doctrines in the Bible is prayer. I cannot imagine. I wouldn't even go to the mayor. He wouldn't see me. Well, I'm Pastor Kincaid over in such and such a place, and I've been in San Antonio 50 years or whatever. No, I'd go through how many underlings before I'd get to him. But God Almighty says, come, and He'll pray. Amen. He'll deal with your prayers. I have to thank God every Wednesday night. I think that you listen to us, that you tell us to pray. You tell us to tell us your petitions. You tell me the burdens that you have. How many times that I've gone to the Lord with problems that everybody has in their lives. And bless your hearts, in some cases, man, God did answer. And then I've lived long enough to know that I'm glad all of my prayers weren't answered. I'm glad God said no. He didn't tell me no, He just didn't answer it. You want to be blessed? How can you be blessed? By knowing God. And by understanding His will. And by praying to Him and talking to Him and fellowshipping with Him. And you know what that'll make you look like to some other people? Wow, they're fresh. Wow, that looks like good fruit. Wow, you don't see a lot of weeds over there in that garden. You're a garden. You're a garden in the eyes of God. You're somebody He wants to bless. He wants fruit to grow on you. He wants good things to come out of you. He wants bad things not. He wants to stop them. How can you be blessed? You can be blessed by God coming into your life and moving upon you little by little until you get stronger and stronger and happier and happier. Amen. How are you going to do it if you don't get up with God? You're not going to do it. You're going to be miserable and tired. You're going to be weary. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to have all sorts of attitude problems. Now, all of us are going to have sickness. It'd be nice if a few of us would say, "Oh boy, I'm never sick." But, anybody like that here? I don't think so. I think the very best of us, we have disappointments. We have problems raising children. We have problems staying married. We have problems getting along with people at work. We have problems with bosses who are unfair or other things like that. Well, take a look around the world. Right now, around the world, Christians are dying simply because they're Christians. Christians are being raped. They're being abused. They've been put into jail just because they're Christians. I tell you what, You were born in this country. You were born with freedom. You were born with an opportunity to read anything you wanted to read. You ought to thank God every day you were born.
Amen.
Wonderful thing. God wants to cultivate his garden, but you have to cooperate. What does that mean? That means you've got to put this word into your mind so that God, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you, by the way, if you're a Christian, can take that word and bless it. Some of you ought to have verses that deal with salvation memorized so that no matter where you were, you could come up with a verse like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I've been listening to some of Billy Graham's campaign sermons and whatever, and it's actually a beautiful thing. That man preached the gospel. Tremendous preacher of the gospel. Everywhere he was preaching the gospel. You know, I've known some Christians that were soul winners like that. No matter where they went. Now, they might not be the most popular people in town, but over where they went, somebody heard the word of God. And it's nice if you knew those verses, that would be a real help to you. But you have to put some time in. You have to give some attention to your spirituality. And what's it going to do to your life? I am so thankful that I quit smoking cigarettes. Now, I started when I was 5, huh? True. My uncle, I didn't want to leave my dad. He was having an operation in Temple, Texas. I was a little 5-year-old. And my uncle said, well, Lindell, if you'll go with me, I'll give you half of this cigar. Okay, I went with him. On the drive back home to the farm or whatever, he said, I smoked a cigar without coughing a time. A half a cigar it was. In my house, only my mother didn't smoke. It was just part of our culture, our family, or whatever. I'm 86 years old. I don't think I'd have made it if I'd have kept smoking. But at 20 years old, I quit smoking. Hey, I was only a drunk one time. I drank socially, but I quit drinking socially when I got saved. Somebody had it in my head that that wasn't a good thing to do. Maybe like my dad, who didn't drink. He didn't cuss. You know, his worst cuss word was dagnabbit. That's not even cussing as far as I'm concerned. Thou shalt be as a watered garden. You must be right with God. Your happiness depends upon that. Proverbs 4:23 says it this way. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's right. Amen. No matter what happens to you, the way you react to it is what makes the difference. No matter, say, you're going to have problems, you're going to have troubles. Bless your hearts. Living has its problems. You got sicknesses and things that you don't expect and you don't want, and things that just come out of the blue sky. Some wreck, somebody just runs a red light and just damages everything around him. Maybe even kills you or cripples you. Wow. Life's got a lot of problems. But you know how you handle those problems? You get right with God. And that defends your happiness and your ability to survive. Keep your heart with all diligence. Don't let a bad spirit get into your heart. Now, the second thing I'd say is Jesus must be Lord.
Yep.
Nobody else can be Lord. Look at Philippians 2:9. 9, 10, and 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus. Hey, what is the name above every name?
Jesus.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. How many knees is that? That's all of them. I don't care whether you think you don't have to, and you're promising yourself you won't do. I'll tell you the truth, you will bow.
Yeah.
Everything in heaven and earth and under the heaven and earth will bow. A name which is above every name. That is the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
We're Americans. Free Americans. We don't think in the terms of Lord. But that's who Jesus is. He's Lord.
Amen.
And by the way, He's Lord over everything.
Amen.
He's not just my Lord and your Lord. He's the Lord over all of those wicked people that are denying Him.
Yeah.
But He is your Lord too, and you ought to recognize Him as Lord and live that way.
Amen.
Colossians 3:17 says, "In whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." No church goes above Jesus. No denomination. No man can take His place. If not, if you don't make Him Lord. You'll find your soul in a thirsty land. Excuse me.
Amen.
Every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. The reason why that sign out there says what it says, and the reason why we meet in the name of Jesus Christ, is because of these scriptures. Baptist is not the name of Jesus. No matter how many Baptists think it is. I've heard tell Jesus was a Baptist. Why? He was baptized by John the Baptist. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think Jesus is the name.
Amen.
And that's reading that signs out there. Some people did. What are you? What are you? What are you? Who do you belong to? We don't belong to anybody but Jesus.
Amen.
No church or denomination or name can take His place. Your future, your trouble, your trials, your family, your home, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids might depend upon your personal spiritual attitude. You need a watered soul. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God day by day. And you need to submit to Him every day of your life. And the more you do, the better blessed you will be. He's Lord. He is Lord completely. When Christ is Lord, you can be a watered garden. Third thing I'd like to say is you must live by faith. You can't live by sight. It's by faith. I don't know why God made it that way, but God made it that way. And that way all the way through the Bible. I'm amazed at some of the Old Testament believers like Abraham and Lot and Job and Moses. Wow. Their faith. What a blessing their faith was. You live by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. You must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, what is faith but just simply standing on the Word of God? He says it, I believe it, that settles it. It's simple, isn't it? It really is. By faith, you pray. And by faith, you preach, you give, you surrender, you bear fruit. You go through trials and tribulations and troubles, and you do it with a good attitude.
Amen.
Somebody says, why are you so happy? Because I've got Jesus as my Lord.
Amen.
Jesus has saved my soul and changed my life. The best thing that ever happened to me was coming to Jesus Christ when I was 20 years old. I'm so thankful for that. You may be here today and you're not saved. You may have been resisting for a long, long time. You think, I just don't believe I'm one of these smarter people. I don't think so. When THDs and PhDs, very, very smart people, say there is no God. All of this came about from a golf ball size something. And there's no reason behind it. Have you ever heard of DNA? Wow. That's a computer code in flesh. That's an awful smart man. Have you heard about the new telescope they've got out there? It just makes the heavens bigger. We just now know more about the heavens than we knew before. And God made it all.
Amen.
And is above it all. I would say that's the one to worship.
Amen.
And you know the time? Time's now. I don't know whether you're the last people I'll ever preach to, or whether I'll go on for a little while longer. And let me tell you what, you better respond when God touches your heart. When God moves upon you and you begin to think about the verse, you begin to think about hell, you begin to think about heaven, you begin to think about how can I please God, and think about the promises and the plans of Jesus. There's an awful lot of religion out there that somebody says you got to do it this way and you got to do this thing and so, and whole of it is a bunch of junk. You know what makes it a bunch of junk? The thief on the cross. He never prayed the sinner's prayer. He was never baptized. He didn't do any good works in church. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Now that blows a whole lot of religion right out of the park. You go to the Word of God, you come to Jesus Christ, I take His Word. I believe the old thief went with Him.
Amen.
And a wonderful thing. I don't know what kind of preaching. I think the people down there in front of the cross, they're preaching. They don't know it. Even they're trying to mock Jesus, but by mocking Him, they're preaching to Him on those several hours. Isaiah 55:6, one of the greatest invitation verses in the world. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
You can have Christ as your Savior today.
Amen.
And if you're already saved, thank God.
Amen.
Thank God for His mercy. Because salvation is a gift. It is not a reward.
Amen.
It is a gift.
Amen.
Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God bless you.